Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus teaches a parable here, and this is where we're going to bring our text from. I'm going to preach on this subject, building a life that can withstand the storms. Building a life that can withstand the storms. Matthew chapter 7, let's look at verse number 24. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. Please stand with me for this morning for the reading of the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Boy, what a sad statement. Listen, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It's always a blessing for us just to read the Bible. And Lord, thank you, dear God. These are your words, red letter words. They came right out of your lips, right out of your mouth. And Lord, all of the Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But Jesus, it is something just to imagine sitting there and hearing you tell this parable. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would treat every word of it as if it's the truth this morning, that we'd believe it with all of our heart. And dear God, that we would prove our heart belief by listening, gaining wisdom, applying the Bible to our lives, Lord, to our particular situation. Everybody in here is, Lord, their life is not exactly like anyone else's, and they're not in the same place everybody else is. But Lord, the Bible's universal, no matter who we are. Lord, it's here to help us. So I pray that we'd take it as from you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sunday school, I like opening assembly at Blessed Hope Baptist Church Sunday School. Bus captains, thank you for working hard to get the kids here and on time. One of the reasons that I do opening assembly is that I want our young people, our bus kids, to know who the pastor is. I want to know who they are. I want to have a relationship with them. And if you think about it, by the time they get here and then they go to Sunday school and from there, everybody fourth grade and younger, they're directed to primary church and children's church, and I thank God for those ministries. But honestly, I get about 12, 13 minutes with the bus kids, and we sing songs and try to interact with them, and I want them to have those memories growing up. This morning, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And folks, the songs we sing, I want to put it in their hearts. You know, there's a wise way to live your life. Watch this, and there's a foolish way to live your life. And Jesus didn't mince words in this portion of Scripture, and because of that, I'm not going to soften the truths this morning. You know, he spoke as one, the Bible said, having authority. And so he wasn't apologizing for anything that he said that day when he gave them this parable. He set very much a contrast before them. If you want to be wise, because, folks, we'll get to this at the end of the message, but let me just kind of preempt it right now. The storms are coming. Okay, I don't care who you are, the storms are coming. I was just thinking as I was preparing my heart, looking a little bit around the auditorium this morning, and there's not a family that I can look at, there's not a person in here where I can't think, you know what, they've weathered some storms. And yet they're here this morning. They're faithful to God. They haven't quit on the Lord. Amen. Their house is still standing. But young people, listen to me. I know you kind of live in a little bit of a protective bubble because mom and dad deals a lot with the storms of life. And sometimes you may not even know that they're happening because they protect you from some of that. But they're only going to be able to protect you so long. And sooner or later, by the way, we have teenagers in this room, young people that already have gone through some pretty bad storms. It's not like storms don't hit early. It's not like storms don't hit often. But you know what, folks? You can build a life. If we listen to Jesus, you can build a life that can withstand the storms that are coming. And so let's just learn from this wise man. I might mention the foolish man a little bit in contrast, but most I'm going to focus on verse 24 and 25. And let's learn how to be wise. Let's learn what a wise man does. The wise man became wise because of some things that he did, because of some decisions that he made. And so let's learn from him this morning. Number one, he took advantage of an opportunity offered. Well, where do you get that, preacher? Notice the second word in verse number 24. What's the second word in verse number 24? I'll say 1, 2, 3. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Whosoever. You know what I love about that word? When we find that in the Bible, I can know that that applies to Jerry Ross. And you can put your name in there. And you know what? He was offered an opportunity. This is a whosoever opportunity. That means that I don't have to divide part of the crowd off and say, now, this morning what I'm going to teach, it doesn't apply to you. You know, you weren't born in a Christian home, and you weren't raised by Christian parents, and you know, you didn't have the advantages, and you didn't get to go to a Christian school, and so, you know what, this isn't for you. No, I don't care who you are. I don't care when you got saved. I don't care, you know, what your background is and the baggage you may feel like, preacher, I have to carry. And the particular, listen, this is a whosoever opportunity. And here's somebody that stood up. He was wise because he said, if it's for everybody, then it's for me. But it still came to a choice. Because you think about this, folks, when you get down to verse number 26, there is the contrast, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. That man had a whosoever opportunity too. Okay, he was sitting right beside the wise man. And in this room, there may be young people sitting right beside each other. And you know what? You're raised in church, and you go to the same classes, and you've heard the same Bible, and you're under the same preaching. But you know what? One of these days, you're going to decide what you're going to do with it. But this was an advantage. He took advantage of an opportunity that was offered. What I'm saying this morning is this is available. What I'm going to teach this morning to every man in this room, every woman in this room, every teenager, every child. Listen, folks, this is an opportunity for every marriage. Come on now. For every home. It's an opportunity given to every church, to every church ministry, every endeavor, every undertaking, no matter what God has called you to do, he's included you in this group. And you know what? You can build something that can withstand the storms of life. I was thinking as I was meditating on this, we've got two missionary families out on a foreign field. They're both in Illinois. And so you pray for them. We sent out two of our families, two of our young couples to try to reach the heathen. And folks, it's a blessing to be in free America, amen. But not everybody gets a chance to, just a few miles from here, there's the border. And amen. And thank God there's a border. Then you cross over into a communist America. And I couldn't help but think about David and Ashley this morning. And you know what? There's two young people, folks, listen to me, that were both born into Christian families. And they were both raised in church. And they were given great opportunity. Both of them got a chance to have a Christian education. And you know what? They said, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm not just going to hear the words. I'm going to do them. And then I thought about Jesse and Heather McCammon that's over there in Floor, Illinois. And let me tell you something, folks. They weren't born into Christian families. And you know what? They didn't have a upbringing from a small child, their parents bringing them to church, and they were reached through the bus ministry. And let me tell you something. They sat at the same time together in this auditorium, and they both had to make the same decision. And I guess I want to say that, you know what, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter, preacher, I've made so many mistakes, and I've made such a mess of things. And you know, this morning, if you just said, I'm going to have a new starting point today, and I'm going to be one of the whosoever's. I'm going to follow the wise man's example. And I'm going to say, that's for me, and I believe it. And I'm going to claim the promises. I promise you, beginning today, you can start building a life that can withstand the storms. So number one, he took advantage of an opportunity offered. Whosoever, he trained his ear to hear. The Bible says, whosoever, therefore, whosoever, what's the next word?
Heareth.
Think about this. I believe there's the lost art in our nation, the lost art of hearing, the lost art of listening. So many distractions. Young people, God made you with two ears and one mouth. That ought to tell you something. You ought to be listening twice as much as you're talking. By the way, that's not just good advice for young people. That's good advice for adults. And you know what, folks, listen to me. It's almost like people are looking at you. Come on, sometimes I feel like it in a message, and they're just waiting for you to get done so they can go on to the next thing. Sometimes you're trying to give counsel and advice, and I can see in their eyes they're not really hearing anything. They're just waiting for me to stop so they can jump in with what they think. Come on, parents, let me help you. We got a lot of kids around here. Are you raising your kids with the discipline of listening, of hearing? You think about that. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth, come on, young man, heareth his father's instruction. What's the other side of the coin? But a scorner heareth not rebuke. So you're going to grow up and be a wise son, or are you going to grow up and be a scorner? Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth, the reproof of life abideth among the wise. That's what we're, isn't it amazing how the Bible backs up the Bible? Amen. Why was this wise man a wise man? Because he decided to hear. Okay, you know, you young men sitting up right now, some of you are, you're a million miles away. I lost you within 10 seconds of the message. Your mind's been wandering all over the place. You know why? Because you are not, come on, this is part of growing up, this is part of becoming a man. The ability to focus your attention on the preaching of the Bible. Focus your attention on what the preacher's saying. Not letting your mind wander around in an undisciplined fashion. But you know what? Showing up and praying and saying, that's my preacher. God's given him a message. It's from the Bible. And God's going to teach me something today. Not just listening to what the preacher said. But listen, if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you that's also trying to teach you something right now. And the devil, he's always going to be the great distractor. And you think about this society and how distracted people are. It's hard to get adults to listen to you. It's hard to get anybody to really hear the truth anymore. Right. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Now think about that. There's people that are trying to teach you truth, and there's people that are trying to teach you lies. And you know what the sad part about it? Watch this. I believe that there's some people that are more focused. Come on. They are able to listen, are more willing to listen to what somebody posts on Facebook than they are to open this book and just say, what does God say? What does God say? Here's a wise man. By the way, a storm's coming. But buddy, you know what? He's got a formula figured out here. And he said, you know what? When the storm comes one of these days, my whole life's not going to come crashing down. You know why? Because I'm going to take the opportunity. This is a whosoever opportunity. And I am going to train my ears to hear. Parents, listen to me. Don't let your kids be distracted. Don't let your kids get in the habit of not listening to you. Okay? Let me just give you some very, very practical things. Young people, by the way, your mom and dad's talking to you. You need to give them your full attention. Okay? Start by speaking their name. Okay? If you don't speak their name, then they don't know who you're talking to. Come on, parents. Speak their name. I think that's how God communicates to us. He communicates very personally. I can go through the Bible where, again and again, he called Samuel, Samuel. Moses, Moses. I've heard him say Jerry, Jerry. I mean, when he wants your attention, he speaks your name. So speak their name so that you know. And then watch this. You know what? Secure their full attention before you tell them something. If they're playing with something and they say, yeah, then you know what? They're not listening. If they're watching a stupid TV set and they're sitting there going like this, but they're, listen, wherever their eyes are, their attention is. Well, what am I talking? I'm talking about getting back to teaching and training a generation of young people to be able to hear so that one of these days they can hear God. Okay, so call their name And then if you have dad and they're not looking at you, look at me. By the way, that's important. That's why you young men, sometimes I get after some of you. But during the message, you know what you have a problem doing? You're not looking at the one that's talking to you. You're looking everywhere else. You got your head down. And you're not looking. Listen, wherever your eyes are, that's where your attention is. Amen. Preacher's preaching, you ought to be looking at him. Preacher's preaching, you ought to have your full attention on it. Amen. Because that's a discipline that's almost lost in society today. How many of you employers, come on, are dealing with grown men? And you get about halfway through trying to tell them what you need them to do, and they're over here looking, or they pull their phone out in the middle of it. And I mean, what is wrong with us? You know what? The devil's behind that nonsense, because if we can't even listen to the God-given authorities in our life, give them our full attention and grasp what they're saying, how are we ever going to listen to God? So speak their name, secure their full attention. Come on. Then have them repeat back. Come on, this is a good discipline. You got a young man that has a little trouble listening to you, and you know what? And you can get them to look at you. You can get them to call their name. You can make them stop everything they're doing, and they can still sit there with their mind a million miles away. So after you tell them, come on, teachers, does this work in the classroom? I heard Miss Rachel giggling. She knows. You know what? Listen, I'm not mad at kids. Kids are kids. But you know what? It's sad when parents and adults and authority allow kids to remain kids in their teenage years and in their 20-something years. It's ridiculous, the immaturity of the average young adult. It's ridiculous. And you know what? We can point a finger of blame at them, but what did we allow? So some of you that got these little kids, listen to me, what are you doing? You're training them how to listen. You know why? Because if they won't hear, this wise man said, I got an opportunity. This is a whosoever opportunity. And he trained his ears to hear. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Number three, he directed his hearing towards Christ. Now think about that. He trained his ear to hear. And you know what? You can train your ears to hear. But then the next challenge, if you want to build a life that can withstand the storm, then you've got to then decide who you're going to listen to. Okay, he directed his hearing towards Christ. Look at the verse. There it is. Therefore, whosoever heareth what? These sayings of mine. These sayings of mine. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an excuse. Everybody out there spent, I mean, there's so many backsliders on social media that spend all of their time making excuses of why they are not doing what the Bible said and trying to justify it. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? You know what? I'm going to listen to Jesus. I'm going to listen to this book. You say, preacher, when you talk about listening to Jesus, you know, what are these sayings of mine? Well, we understand, like I mentioned in my prayer, that we can go to the Gospels and literally read the very words of Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you of something, folks, because I hear a lot of backslidden preachers saying, when are we going to get back to just preaching Christ? When we get back to just preaching Christ? And what they're saying is, we ought to just be focusing on salvation, and we ought not to preach other parts of the Bible. Well, let me give you a verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Folks, listen to me. All of this is the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Come on, listen to me. It's as much Jesus' words in Deuteronomy 22:5 as it is in John 3:16. It's about time we start treating all of the Bible as if it is the words of God, because Jesus, you can't separate Christ from the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When we see Jesus Christ come back in Revelation chapter 19, one of the most exciting and beautiful portions of scripture you can ever read. I can't read it without getting excited, but folks, listen to me. When Jesus splits heaven open, and John the Revelator, he saw it, man. He was the one. And because of that, he got to see some things that other people didn't get to see. And he said, he wrote this, and I saw, that's what you were telling us, I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he, listen, was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. So when you're reading Genesis, you're reading Jesus. I heard a preacher say this, and I heard him get criticized by it, but I'll stand with him, I'll stand beside him, I'll back him up. He said, if you could take Jesus and turn him into a book, you'd have your King James Holy Bible. If you could take a book and turn it into a person, it'd turn into the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why people are trying to separate Jesus from this book? Because that thing gives them in their mind an excuse not to follow and to preach and to treat preciously everything that the Bible says. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. I'm talking about a wise man that's building a life that's able to withstand the storms. I want to ask you the question, one of the most important questions. You know, if you've been around here, this, you hear your preacher say this often. Who has your ear? Yes. Who has your ear? Come on, whose voice has the most influence in your life? Whose opinion matters the most? Okay? You know what? This book and what it says ought to matter more than anything else, anybody else's opinion. This book ought to be what we go to. Listen, I'm talking about building a life that's going to withstand the storm. Think about this. Who has your ears? The words you read on Facebook, are they having more influence on your life than the words that you read in God's holy book? You know, here might be a good challenge for some of you Facebook addicts. Just refuse to spend more time on Facebook than you do in your Bible. So whatever time you're going to spend on Facebook, the least you could do is give that much time in this Bible, and it might help correct a lot of the nonsense you're believing on Facebook. Amen. Got a bunch of Facebook philosophers out there. Who has your ear? Come on, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is what your preacher's supposed to do. I'm trying to help you. If you are allowing backsliders to have your ear and influence your thinking and your heart, let me just listen. I'm sorry. I've been doing this a long time. Some of you are listening to a bunch of used-to-bes and has-beens and backsliders. And they drop their convictions and they drop their standards and they haven't influenced a soul for Christ for the last 10 or 15 years, but their opinion means more to you than what your preacher preaches from this pulpit. If you don't turn off those voices, you won't be here in 6 months. Write it down, mark the date down. If you don't turn off those voices, you're going to get a bitter spirit. Come on, blessed is the man. Come on, Psalms chapter 1. My dad started years ago, came to me as assistant pastor. I want all our young people to know three Psalms, Psalm chapter 1, Psalms chapter 23, Psalms 100. I think everybody in this room ought to be able to stand up and quote all of them. If you grew up here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's a good chance you could. Amen. And he said, now start them in chronological order. So we start with Psalms 1. By the way, Sunday school teachers, I haven't emphasized this in a while. And you know, a few years back, I asked you, hey, let's make sure all of our Sunday school classes are teaching all three of these Psalms. I understand with the younger ones, you may have to take one of them and spend 2 months on it, and then 2 months on the next one, 2 months on the next one. But you know, maybe we ought to just in 2024, let's just go back and do that one more time and strengthen that in their life. Hey, how about out here in Bible Club? Let's just strengthen that again. Come on, man. Primary church, children's church, let's just strengthen it again. And it's crazy. Because kids that are born into Christian families grow up in a church, and the very first verse that we have them memorize is what will protect them from ending up out in the world, out of God's will, and yet the very first words they memorize, they ignore. They're like that foolish man that, you know what, he also heard, but he decided he wasn't going to obey. What did they say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, some of you are, you know what? You're heading towards Jesus. You're walking. You're up doing something. All right? You're heading somewhere. You know what? Bible says there's going to be ungodly people that want to come alongside you and give you counsel. Ungodly people that are doing ungodly things. They're backsliders. Stop trying to whitewash it. They're backsliders. They're not right with God. And now they've dedicated themselves to come alongside people that are right with God and try to get them to join them in being not right with God. So blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You start, that's what I'm saying. Who's got your ear? Now, there was a time you were walking, you were going, you were doing, you were serving. Here he is walking. Walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Isn't that interesting? So now all of a sudden you're not going anywhere. You're standing and hanging around this crowd. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Come on. They've wormed their way into your life. They starting to poison your attitude, starting to poison your zeal. I'm trying to justify why this is all right and why that's all right. And you know what? Let's defend the people that are doing wicked and let's attack the people that are doing right. Come on, then you're standing in the way of sinners. Next thing you know, you're going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now here you are. All of a sudden, you've decided that you need a seat. You need a judgment seat. You're worthy to sit as the judge of the universe, and you're going to judge people that are serving God, judge churches that are standing for right, judge separation, and you're going to sit there with a bunch of scorners doing nothing for eternity except nyan, 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 and they will poison your heart. Now, listen to me, folks. I'm talking about a wise man. I'm talking about somebody who's building a life that can withstand a storm. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, it's about time we start shutting off all the voices that are anti-Bible and anti-Christ, and we start getting back in this book. If you got time to listen to Facebook, you know what? We've got all kinds of archived messages on our website. And when's the last time you went back and listened to a couple extra sermons during the week? Come on, why don't you go pull up something from Lester Roloff and just listen to it? Why don't you pull up something from Lee Robertson? You can find this on the internet too, by the way. Why don't you go find Harold Seitler preaching Can God and listen to it until you have to stop the car and run around it two or three times? Well, listen, who's got your ear? Who are you listening to? I'm not going to listen to the scorners. I'm not going to listen to the critics. I'm not going to listen to the people that have a poisonous spirit about them and a negativity about them. I'm not listening to some backslider giving me advice on how I ought to be living my life. Okay, God bless them. I'll pray for them, but you know, I'm going somewhere. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know what? That means this. If they want to go towards the world and I want to go towards Jesus, it's impossible for us to walk together. That's all it really means, folks. And if you're going to walk with that person, you've got to start agreeing with that person. You start agreeing with that person, you're going to be back out in the world. But that's not all he did. He didn't just hear. Watch this, folks. Number four, I think. He readied his heart to obey. Because notice what, isn't this verse amazing? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, what's the next phrase? And doeth them. That's the difference between him and the foolish man right here. Because if you look down at verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them what?
None.
So they sat in the same church. They sat in the same Sunday school classes. They were in the same youth group. They went to the same Christian school. They heard all the same stuff. And some of them were wise and said, you know what? I'm going to latch on to what the Word of God says, and that's how I'm going to live my life. And that is what I'm going to build my life on. And other people sat there and heard the same thing with a scorner's attitude. And then you know what? As soon as one, they're just watching the clock and waiting for it to hit 18. Come on.
Right.
And boy, then they're going to take off to the world so fast. You know what the problem is? The problem is right down there in their heart.
Yes.
Somebody's got their ear.
Yeah.
Listen, parents, you need to walk guard around your teenagers.
Amen.
You need to walk guard around who's influencing them.
Yes, sir.
Who they're talking to. Right. Who's got influence in their life. Listen, me and my wife did it several times growing up where we just put our foot down. Okay, you're not going to spend time with this person. You're not going to be around this adult. I've gone to adults and say, you need to stop trying to talk to my daughters and influence my daughters. Well, you're going to make somebody mad. Listen, I got to stand before Jesus one of these days. And I want the right people influencing my young people. So think about that, man. Do you want a life? You want a life? Think about this, that can stand against the storms of life. Then you got to learn to be a doer, not just a hearer. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And the next phrase is amazing. Think about this. I know you've heard this verse 100 times. Listen to it. Hear it this time. Because it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, comma, deceiving your own selves. Folks, listen to me. Yes, the devil's a deceiver. And you know what? He does try to work to deceive us. But the honest truth is, he don't have to work very hard on a lot of Christians. He don't even have to send a demon, a small minion demon. You know why we're so busy deceiving ourselves? He don't have to. He don't have to put any effort into it, you know. And when you begin to, let me tell you, when you begin to deceive yourself, what that's saying. You know what? I'm a good Christian because I come to church and I hear. I'm a good Christian because I come four times a week, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I hear. Well, what do you do with what you hear? Some of you have been plateaued. Come on, look right up here. I'm talking about people not saved 5 years, six, some of you 20, 30, and you've plateaued. At some point, you plateaued, and you won't move from where you're at. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Listen, I haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. There's things in this book that's being preached, and one of them's being preached this morning. You need to hear it. Amen. We need to get back into this Bible. We need to stop hanging around ungodly counsel, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful, get back in this book and say, God, I didn't used to live my life that way, and I'm not going to start living it this way now. And if that means, sorry, love you, pray for you, but lose my number, then you know what? Sometimes that's what you need to do. Okay? Because you've got to have the right influences in your life. So he readied his heart to obey. Come on, kids, think about this. Just, you know, be open. Preacher loves you. I was a kid once, too. You know, I went to school with Moses and, you know, was in the same grade. But I was a kid. I was a kid once, too. Here's a question you ought to ask yourself. Why is it so hard to obey? Think about that. Why is it so hard to obey? Why has that become such a big deal in our life where it's almost like if a teacher tells us to do something, we're sitting there just almost determined to figure out a way not to do it. Come on, wives.
Come on.
You don't like that in your kids, but is that what you're, how you're treating your husband when he asks you to do something? Or what do you think they're learning? All right, you can say amen right there, men. Okay, get a permission slip from her. You can say amen right there. What I'm talking about is rebellion a lot of time in the house is learned.
Right.
You see, you can't teach selective rebellion.
Hey.
Okay, whatever you're modeling, listen, every one of us have God-given authorities in our life.
Right. Hey.
Okay, we want our kids to respond to our authority that God gave us in their life, but then they listen to us constantly. Come on, at work, guys, why can't we just obey?
Amen.
Do you own the company?
Come on.
Come on, I always say that some guys ought to be named Ford. They always have a better idea. Well, where's the employees that just show up and say to the boss, who, by the way, has made the biggest investment and who runs the company and has more experience than you, and he says, listen, this is your job, and this is how I want you to do it, what I want you to do, X, Y, Z, when I want you to do it, and why don't you just learn to look at somebody and say, yes, sir?
Right.
Come on, just that, yes, sir. Kids, listen to me.
Come on.
You need to conquer this in your heart at a young age. Because if you're struggling with obeying mom and dad all the time and you're fighting against that obedience, that's not coming from God. God is not telling you to disobey your parent. He told you the opposite. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So you've got to understand at that moment, am I going to listen to the devil or am I going to listen to Jesus? Mom and dad told me to do this. Listen, you ought to obey. Look right up here. Parents, we got to get back to this. They need to learn to obey immediately. Precisely, and with the right spirit. And too many parents are trying to normalize disobedience. Oh, that's just kid stuff. That's just normal kid stuff. No, it's sin. They want to normalize rebellion. They want to normalize kids throwing a fit rather than doing what they're told. They want to normalize that. Well, that's because you've been watching Dr. Phil and you haven't been in the Bible. That's because listen, what Ellen DeGeneres has to say means more to you than God's holy word.
Amen.
It's time we got back in the Bible to decide we're going to be Bible Christians, okay? So he readied his heart to obey. He just said, you know, I'm going to be there. I don't care what everybody, listen, every young person in this room, every young lady in this room ought to sit in your classroom in Sunday school and say, God bless the rest of them. I'll pray for them. I love them. But you know what? I don't care what they do or don't do. I am listening and I am going to follow God and I am going to listen to the scriptures. I'm going to be an obedient young person, and if that doesn't make me cool, then I'll just not be cool.
Amen.
Stop trying to impress your peers. Start trying to impress the Lord. Amen. Then he exercised the character to build. Because then it goes on to say this. Folks, listen to me. It takes some effort to have the right kind of life and live the right kind of life. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house. You know what? Once he listened, once he heard, he decided he was going to do it. It took some effort on his part. A builder's mentality. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil's attacking homes. Ladies, you young mothers need to listen to me. Proverbs 14:1, a wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with their hands. Don't you put somebody on a pedestal that's trying to destroy their home. Don't you make excuses for somebody. Listen, I talked about it in Sunday school a little bit. You know what? You stood at an altar and you made holy vows. All right, you made promises before God. God takes them seriously. Too many young ladies, you know what? Listen, it's all about control. And this is how I'm going to get control. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. You're influencing your kids. Men, come on now. Let's set the example in this. Some preacher stood in front of you and said something like this. Will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? Will you love her, honor and keep her in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto her as long as you both shall live? Do you so promise? I think the vows, wedding vows, by the way, you come to our marriage retreat, and you know what you're all going to get a copy of? I'm going to go ahead and tell you what you're going to get a copy of. I'm going to give you something that I think you'll think is precious, and it'll give you something to set up in your room, because it's sad that we say these once and then we never go back and even remind ourselves what we promised. Amen. Well, and then you know what? I had the repeat after me part, you know. I take thee to be my wedded wife. Listen, to have and to hold from this day forward. To have and to hold from this day forward. Okay, not when things are just going good.
Right.
Come on, everybody's going to face struggles. Everybody's going to go through hard times. You know what you do? You stay.
Right.
You stay. You keep your vows. You work through it. Okay, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse. And there's going to be a little of both. For richer and poorer, there's going to be more poorer than richer.
Yep.
Sickness and in health. It's going to touch every family. I don't care. You can be 20-something or 30-something comfortable, and you're both in the prime state of health, and you think, man alive, I'm never going to. You don't know tomorrow could change everything. But it's not, do I keep my vows to her based on circumstance? It's, no, I made a promise to Almighty God, and I'm going to keep that promise for Almighty God no matter what comes. Are we here? Are we okay? Are we listening? I'm talking about it. You want to build a life that withstands. So listen, we've been, come on now, God's been good. And you know, there's been a little bit of break in the storm here and there and enough for us to catch our breath. But you know, we're almost at the 2-year mark, heading into the 2-year mark of a storm that me and my wife went into. And folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. The other night, we had a storm come through. I don't remember if it was this. I think it was this week we were at the house. I don't remember if we were at the apartment or the house, but it seems like we were at the house. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? And I mean, it's one of those storms where, okay, you know, the shingles are flapping and the shutters are rattling and you're wondering. You're kind of sitting, you wake up in bed and you're hearing that wind hit the side of your house. And there's a part of you going like, you know, I really should have put a basement underneath this house. That would have been a really good idea. And you just wonder, you know, man, is this, what's going on? I mean, it gets to the point where I don't care how brave you are. You're just kind of sitting there going, okay. You know where our bedroom is, folks? Listen to me. Where our bedroom is, our master bedroom is. You know, I had some help here and there. But I'm going to tell you something. 90% of the work of that house addition, this guy right here did it. And you know what I'm counting on to keep that house where it needs to be? I'm not counting on the color of the siding. I'm counting on the foundation that's underneath. Okay, because I dug that foundation. I poured that cement. I know what that house is built on. And I understand, folks, that a tornado can come, and I get all of that. But aren't you glad that you're in the hands of Almighty God? Amen. In the middle of one of those storms, what do you do? Oh, I just, you know, I go get in the bathtub. No, no, I don't. You know what I do? I say, Lord, take care of us. And I turn over and I go back to sleep. You know why? Because I'm living in a house that can withstand the storms. And listen, what are you building right now? Come on, married couples, I'm going to end it here. There's more points, but you know what? Build a marriage based on biblical principles. Stop trying to explain away and excuse away disobedience to biblical principles. Stop listening to humanistic philosophy instead of the Word of God. Stand by the Bible. Amen. Obey the Bible. Amen. Don't go around telling a bunch of half-truths so that you can have an excuse to disobey the Bible. Because if you'll build it on the Word of God, He exercised the character build. He had builder's tool, builder's character. You know, every day you ought to get up and you ought to continue to build your Christian life and build your marriage and invest in your marriage and work on raising them kids for Jesus Christ and go to work and show up on time and work hard and manage your money and do things according to the Bible. Why did he withstand the storm? Because he selected the proper foundation. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about the Word. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. What's the difference between rock and sand? Think about that. What's the difference between rock and sand? That rock, you know what? It's not going to move. That sand shifts. Folks, listen to me. It is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. This King James Holy Bible is not going to change for me, and it's not going to change for you. It's there, and it has the answers. And if we follow it, we will build a house that will withstand the storm. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Lord, so many times, if we're not careful, we just get talked into things that are unbiblical. We can be given somebody unbiblical advice. We can just feel our feelings. Everybody's all about feelings. What we need to do is be about scriptural principles. They work. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help. Help our folks that are going through storms right now. It doesn't matter. This month, next month, 6 months from now, maybe a different family, maybe a different young person, but the storms, they come. Lord, I pray, dear God, we just get back into the Word of God. And Lord, we just decide we're going to obey what the Bible tells us to do. What it tells us to do. And to focus on that. I pray, Lord, that you'd use the Word of God, dear Lord, this morning in our hearts. I've watched a lot of houses crumble. I've watched a lot of houses crash. I've watched people decide, you know what, the Bible's not important and that part of it's not important and we're going to do it different. And it sounds good, and for a while you can look at the house and you think, well, they're doing okay, but there's the storm, it's coming. Sooner or later the storm's going to come and it's going to test everything. Tri-directional testing, rain from above, winds from the side, the floods eating away at the foundation. I mean, this is a storm of storms. It's going to test every part of the building. Lord, every single person is going to have to face that kind of that level of a storm at some point in their marriage and their home. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has had to face those kind of storms. Lord, thank God that in our 50-year history, we've had preachers that have stood up and pointed us to Jesus and pointed us to this book. Lord, help us not to just be hearers, but to be doers of the Word. I pray for these young people. Boy, there's so many decisions ahead of them and so many voices, so many people that want to point them in a direction that's away from God and away from His Word. And all of the advice of the scorners, boy, they can wax eloquent and they can twist things and they can make it sound so good. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would test everything and everybody around us. Hold them up against the truths and the principles of the Bible. and clearly identify those of us that are pointing us to Christ in the Bible and those that are pointing us away from Christ and away from the Word of God. Lord, I pray, dear God, we just be wise.